Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots. I'm Isabel Harbant and I'm joined by Katie Balls and James Forsyth. As you can hear, we're in Westminster in our moving Coffee House Shots series that we're doing, and the bells of Westminster Abbey are ringing out. Not, I think, in celebration that the parliamentary stage of the Conservative leadership contest has come to an end, but we have just had that result and we now know that the two MPs who are going to be facing the Tory membership in the final round are Jeremy Hunt and Boris Johnson. James, were you surprised by this?
We all knew it was going to be incredibly tight. Michael Gove was two votes ahead of Jeremy Hunt in the last ballot. In this ballot, Jeremy Hunt won by two votes. But I think we are going to have another row about tactical voting, because Boris Johnson's vote only went up by three, which is a surprisingly low number, especially given that four Sajid Javid backers had said publicly that they were planning to vote for Boris Johnson. So I think there is going to be a tactical voting row with Boris Johnson's team being accused of picking their own opponent. And I think, looking at the numbers, it is hard to contest the idea that there has been some tactical voting going on here. And I think that this is just going to be one more challenge for Boris Johnson to overcome in terms of reuniting the Tory parliamentary party at the end of this contest. In terms of the battle between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Hunt, you know, look, we live in an era of political upsets, but it would be a bigger upset than any of the upsets we've seen in the last few years if Jeremy Hunt, who voted Remain, was to beat Boris Johnson, who led the Leave campaign, in this Tory membership vote. I also think that, you know, Boris Johnson is a much more natural campaigner than Jeremy Hunt, and I understand the Johnson campaign's approach is essentially to try and turn these hustings into rallies. And I think you saw in a tweet that Jeremy Hunt sent earlier when he talked about putting Boris through his paces, but I don't think we're going to see Jeremy Hunt go for the jugular.
Katie, one of the lines that the Hunt campaign have been using to try to persuade people to back their man rather than Michael Gove is that a Gove versus Boris final two would have been a Tory psychodrama. Just explain what that meant and whether it was really valid.
Well, this was looking at what happened in the last Tory leadership contest when Michael Gove effectively, use what word you want, but turned on Boris Johnson, described as someone stabbing him in the back, when at the very last minute he abandoned Boris Johnson's campaign and decided to run for Prime Minister himself. Boris Johnson then famously decided to use his launch to actually announce the end of his campaign. And since then, Theresa May became Prime Minister and lots of people held Michael Gove accountable for that. Now, there is a sense, and it was put out today after the first vote this morning, we quite quickly heard Hunt allies suggesting that if you put Michael Gove in the final two, you would be allowing the psychodrama to play out. A month of bruising blue on blue warfare was the suggestion, because they had unfinished business. Michael Gove would be vicious towards Boris Johnson. Now, I'm not sure if that is what has got Jeremy Hunt to the final two. I think actually, speaking to some MPs who had been backing Sajid Javid, I got the sense that some of them thought, well, actually, we do want to put Boris Johnson through his paces. And this idea that you're going to go really easy on someone we've chosen not to vote for isn't the biggest sell I've ever heard. I think what James has touched on is the sense that there is tactical voting going on. And I think that if you look at all the candidates who have been knocked out at the various stages, it really couldn't have gone much better for Boris Johnson had they planned it. You had Dominic Raab knocked out very early on before the BBC debate. That meant that Boris Johnson on Brexit didn't feel that he was so boxed in, because there was no other hard Brexit candidate. I think that he probably feels he can speak a bit more freely. Today we had a George Osborne Evening Standard leader, which basically said, we back Boris Johnson because we think that he might actually not have a red line about leaving at the end of October. Now, there's been big kickback from the Boris camp over that, but you can imagine how that editorial would have a whole different meaning if Boris Johnson and Dominic Raab were still in the race, and people could say, well, this person's been completely clear, Boris, will you completely commit? Then you had Rory Stewart knocked out before he could gain momentum, and now they have the what they ultimately always wanted, which was a Jeremy Hunt Boris Johnson playoff. So I spoke to figures who were supporting Jeremy Hunt earlier today, and I got the sense they were a bit despondent and they didn't think they had the numbers. So I would expect over the course of the next few hours to perhaps see some allegations thrown about, the truth of which we can never really know because it is a secret ballot and phones have been banned.
And just on that, there were two spoilt ballots in the earlier round and one
rejected ballot in this most recent round. And I understand that an officer of the 1922 committee has confirmed that penises were not drawn on those ballots. What do you think these two sport ballots mean?
Well, I think it shows there was a problem in the sense that you clearly had two MPs who felt like they couldn't really live with any of the candidates as Prime Minister. And although at the time it was greeted with a slight chuckle in the room because it is clearly a rejection, it does have more long-term problems potentially, because you have MPs who are in fact saying that they don't want to be represented by four candidates. Now, if you now look at what's happened in the latest round, you have one rejected ballot, so perhaps the rebellion has been reduced, perhaps one was making a statement. But I think it does add to the sense that, yes, if you look specifically at Boris Johnson, because we do expect him to win this, barring a catastrophe for him, but he does have a broad coalition of supporters, but there are clearly people in the Tory party who really don't want him to be Prime Minister, and some want to be more drastic than others. But just because he's managed to get, say, Matt Hancock and James Brokenshire and also Marc Francois and Steve Baker, doesn't mean he has Tory unity that Theresa May failed to get. He is going to have a very uphill task.
James, you've written in the latest Spectator, out today, about what a Boris Johnson premiership would look like. And you've looked at some of the appointments he might make, such as Sajid Javid for Chancellor, for instance. Do you think that he's really going to spend the next 4 weeks planning for number 10 rather than really worrying that much about the membership round?
I think because it is now Jeremy Hunt, I think there will be far more of an emphasis on planning for what he's going to do. Look, there are only 99 days from the day that Boris Johnson is likely to become Prime Minister to October the 31st. And that means he cannot afford to waste a single hour of his time. There is no time for them to learn the ropes. They need to go in there knowing precisely who is doing what job. They need to go in there with the government reshuffle already done, and they need to go in there knowing precisely what they are planning to do on Brexit. And I think there are already this week some preparations being made for what will happen, you know, transition stuff. I think that is going to massively ramp up over this month, because I don't think Boris Johnson versus Jeremy Hunt is going to turn into a nail-biting contest.
And finally, Katie, what's been your moment of this parliamentary stage of the leadership contest?
Well, I mean, there are several high adrenaline moments, such as waiting to see what was going to happen with Jesse Norman's Twitter thread.
The one that went on for 37,000
yeah,
tweets.
I think it was a number like that, or deliberating on whether or not to run. We also had similar anticipation when it came to Graham Brady, the 1922 committee chair, who had to recuse himself from the process because he might run, and then decided not to. I think perhaps he's one of the losers of this whole contest, because it meant he didn't get to have a role.
Has anyone seen him? Has he been locked in a cupboard by Boris Johnson? He seems to have completely disappeared from the public eye.
I saw him wandering around the Palace of Westminster the other day, and he did a policy exchange forward to a report on the backstop.
He's looking around. So I think there was the element initially of just how many horses we had in this race. And ultimately, what's been quite interesting is people were predicting from the offset that this was going to be a Boris Johnson, Jeremy Hunt final. It seemed that Jeremy Hunt had the most parliamentary support. In the end, it turned out there wasn't really a Stop Boris campaign. And there have been many twists and turns. You've had an insurgent campaign for Rory Stewart. You had a drug scandal with Michael Gove. But we have still ended up where I think a lot of people thought we would, just with lots of things happening along the way.
I mean, it is interesting that what Katie said about that drug scandal with Michael Gove. If you look at how close this was in the end, if he hadn't started his campaign forced onto the back foot like that, it's hard not to think that it might have had a slightly different result. I think the other thing which is remarkable about this, has been remarkable at this stage, is how easily Boris Johnson has sauntered through it. You know, for years, the big criticism of Boris Johnson would be that he didn't really have a parliamentary operation. Even some of his closest backers despaired about how little preparation was done. But, you know, he has imported essentially a team, and they have now delivered for him a remarkable result. And I think now the question now is, what mandate does he get from the members? But the really big question is, in the next month, it's not so much that, how ready does he get to be Prime Minister? Because there is going to be no room for slip-ups or learning mistakes at the beginning. He's got to know exactly what he wants to do. I mean, that is the real challenge from over the next month, not beating Jeremy Hunt, which I think he will do without breaking into anywhere near as much of a sweat as Jeremy Hunt was in when he appeared on TV in his jogging gear earlier.
Well, thank you, James, and thank you, Katie. And we'll obviously be covering all the thrills and spills, if there are any, of the next few weeks, and coming to you with whether James' prediction of an easy win for Boris Johnson is indeed true. Thank you so much for listening, and do subscribe, rate and review us on the iTunes Store.